Joshua, you were talking about the woman who was ghost hunting, basically, or stumbled into a ghost and was about ready to call 911. Go ahead.
911. Yeah, she actually did call 911 because this apparition was so well manifested that she thought someone had broken into her home. And only afterward realized that when there was no one there, that maybe something more extraordinary was happening. And after she saw this form two or three times, realized that this is a ghost. I mean, she was open-minded enough to accept the fact that this house she'd moved into, that was quite old, had a ghost. And actually, surprisingly, she wasn't really that frightened at first, because she would only see this apparition sort of moving through parts of her house. And if anything, it was kind of a novelty and a conversation piece for her friends when they would come over. And what started to really bother her was when she would see this dark form. And sometimes it was clearly manifested, sometimes it looked like a mist. She would see it in her bedroom, in this one particular corner. That's when she started becoming frightened, because she'd wake up and see this dark thing in the corner. And finally, she woke up at 4:30 in the morning, and this thing was in bed with her. And so that's when she said, "I am out of here," and she called me the next day. So our team went over there. We spent one night doing an investigation, and really did not find anything too special. I mean, we did detect a few anomalous electromagnetic fields, but to a certain degree, you can expect that. I mean, an airplane can fly over. You know, there are all kinds of different things that can cause certain types of anomalous electromagnetism. Right. So it wasn't that interesting the first time, but knowing that this stuff is rare and inconsistent, as I mentioned earlier, we decided we'd definitely go back again, because she seemed very sincere with her experience. So the second time we were there, at one point I was up in the attic of her house. Just so happens the attic, I guess. I mean, I'd been in every single other room, and it was just the attic's turn. But it is funny how often you hear these stories about attics, and I do have some thoughts on that. But anyway, I was in the attic with another investigator. We'd been up there about 5 minutes, certainly less than 10 minutes. And all of a sudden, the other researcher said, "Josh, look." I turned, and he was about, maybe 3 or 4 feet away from me. And right there between us was this blue-gray mist swirling in the air. And it was a patch of mist that was maybe about 2 feet in diameter. One thing that I think is very important, and to this day I have not understood the importance of this, but it has to have some kind of special meaning. The currents of the mist had sort of this straight line geometric pattern to it. It wasn't just swirling like smoke would, for example, in curls and twists. I mean, it looked angular. I do not know what that is, and I've never seen anything like it. So here we are staring on both sides at this misty form. And the funny thing is, you would imagine a person like myself would say, "Oh my, at long last, it's a ghost." But we didn't. I mean, the idea when you do scientific research is that you look for the most conventional explanation first. You know, you use Occam's razor there. So, I mean, your brain is going through the filing cabinet trying to figure out what could this be. And in the meantime, you're losing valuable time, which is kind of sad. So I stood there probably for about 10 or 15 seconds just staring at this thing at all, and realized I need to take a picture. And I had my digital camera around my neck, so I photographed this thing. And fortunately, I was able to get that photograph proving that it was something that had objectivity. It wasn't some mutual hallucination we were having. And I would say it was there maybe a total of about 20 seconds, which is actually quite a long time to observe something right in front of you, long enough so that both of us were able to reach out and touch it. And when we touched it, it did indeed have an icy feeling. And it also made the hair on our knuckles sort of stand up. I compare it to being very similar to sticking your hand an inch in front of a television screen when you feel that electrostatic field, which goes right back to what I was mentioning before about that connection between electrostatics and low humidity and some of these manifestations. And after that period of time, It did not simply disperse like smoke would, but it dimmed and vanished. And one thing about that experience that also is outstanding to me is that in my photograph, not only was I able to capture the mist, and by the way, the photograph of this thing is on our website. Obviously, it can be accessed through coasttocoastam.com, but my lemur, my website address is lemurteam.com, L-E-M-U-R-team.com. When you go there, you can see that we, not only, or I not only captured this mist, but there were two or three little balls of light, or orbs, as they are called, that developed as well. And so, even though I didn't see these orbs with my naked eyes, it makes me wonder if they were there, but only in the infrared realm, because I used a digital camera, which is somewhat sensitive to infrared, or if they were oscillating at a frequency too fast for my eyes to see, but the camera shutter was able to pick them up. But it does show, once again, there is a correlation between some of these orb-like anomalies and what people describe as paranormal. I mean, after you've ruled out insects and moisture and dust and things like that. And so I cannot say that what I witnessed there was the spirit of a dead person. But I can say that it matches my definition of a ghost, and especially when you place it in context regarding the experiences that the young lady and other people had had at the house. And I think that is of utmost importance. And if I may, let me just say you take a light switch in a kitchen, for example. Let's say this light switch flips itself on and off at random, and you can't explain why it's happening. Is that the product of a ghost? Yeah, maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Short circuit, who knows?
Right. Now let's say that's the kitchen where your dead grandmother used to spend most of her time. And she was always flipping the light switch on and off and didn't start until after she died. Does that change the situation then? Because if you take a picture of that, you videotape it, you use whatever instruments you want, you're only going to get the light switch going on and off. What does that tell you? But if you place it into the context, if you give it the proper situational historic meaning, it can then take on different implications. And that is part of the challenge of balancing what you are able to document scientifically with what you are investigating from a paranormal perspective, because the equipment alone cannot give you all the information that you need in order to gain the proper ultimate perspective on this activity.